Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, State Senator Julia Ratty here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org.
Pro Group Management offers workers' comp services to a growing number of industries. As businesses grow and change with the times, the need for a solid workers' comp program must be flexible and up to date. The evolving nature of regulations can make staying ahead of complex tasks challenging. But Pro Group Management simplifies the work so your industry can move forward and succeed. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
When in Carson City, Nevada Newsmakers records in the conference room at the Bank Saloon. Coverage of the 2021 Nevada legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Ahern Rentals is ready for your next project. Liberty Dental Plan, making members shine one smile at a time. And Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from Carson City, we are delighted to welcome to the program in the middle of session when you are incredibly busy, so thank you so much, State Senator Julia Ratty. She sits on Finance, Health and Human Services, and Revenue and Economic Development. The Nevada Public Option, Medicare for All, essentially, passed out of Senate Health and Human Services Committee last night. You are the committee chair. Please tell us what that means.
Well, so first of all, I wouldn't call it Medicare for All necessarily, because it's a state-based plan, and of course Medicare is a national plan. But what I would say is I think it's a good bill. I think it starts us down a path of figuring out how do we take care of, there's still 11% of Nevadans who are uninsured, and that is a very high number, and it has a significant impact on their lives when they don't have access to health care, and it has a significant impact on the costs in the health care system, the costs to the state of Nevada. So it's really good for everyone if we can figure out how to get more people insured, and this bill, we're taking the first steps to get there.
Were you surprised at the amount of pushback? Because there has been tremendous pushback to this.
You know, I think significant change is always a challenge. Sometimes at the legislative process, we tend to maybe work around the edges a little bit and do iterative change. And this is a bold proposal that's going to help a lot of people. So I've been in the building when there's been significant pushback, and it didn't feel to me like there was an overwhelming pushback. It felt like appropriately there were a lot of questions. Because it is a significant policy, but I think the sponsor is doing incredible work to try to answer those questions, and at the end of the day, we have to do what we think is best for Nevadans.
Are you concerned, because this has been raised constantly over time, that we don't have enough medical practitioners in so many fields, mm-hmm. and even though the medical schools are turning out graduates now, which is great news at both ends of the state, but it's not even close to significant, especially with the growth that not only are we seeing now, but that we're anticipating. So do you worry that we may lose medical practitioners because the reimbursement rates will be relatively low?
This is what I would say, Sam. We have a provider shortage now. We will have a provider shortage after this bill is passed, there are lots of things that we need to be doing to address that provider shortage. And you'll see that there are other efforts in the budget and other bills that are going through the legislature to address that issue. So no, I don't think this bill is going to cause that problem. I think that's a problem that we have that we need to work on.
Can you share any of those ideas of things that will help, you know, increase our medical staffing?
Sure. Lots of conversation in the budget process about some of the programs that we fund with the universities and the hospitals to make sure that we have good graduate medical experience. So that training pipeline, one of the areas where we get a little bit stuck is having enough placements for people.
So the residencies,
for their residencies, correct. Right. And so putting some significant funding and making sure that there's infrastructure there. That's one of the things that I would advocate that we look at doing with some of the ARP money, is expanding the number of slots, because it costs money to have these slots. Another bill, this isn't going to sound sexy, right? Nobody's going to ever talk about this bill, but it's a data collection bill. Because we do have these provider shortage areas, when we don't have good data to show the federal government that we have these provider shortage areas, then we lose out on federal programs like being able to pay for a doctor's tuition, pay back them for their student loans so that they will come and serve in Nevada and lower income neighborhoods. And we have not competed well in those programs because we don't have the data. So it's not sexy. It's not something that folks are going to talk about a lot, but there's a bill going through that Dr. Hardy and I have been working on to make sure that we get that better data so that we can compete for those tuition reimbursement dollars so that we can attract physicians. So it's the hard work day in and day out on the programs that probably nobody's ever going to talk about, but actually make a difference.
Well, we're talking about it, and that's a good thing. And the other thing I want to point out is that Dr. Hardy is a Republican, you're a Democrat. Yes. It's a bipartisan effort. And I'm trying through this program to point out in as many ways as possible that there is bipartisan work going on in the state of Nevada. It's not just my team or your team and we're never going to be together. There are lots of things that are done in a bipartisan way at the session, correct?
Oh, absolutely. 85% of the bills we will pass unanimously. Another 5 to 7% of them will have bipartisan support and just lose a few members. But what we hear about, of course, are the handful of places where we have a difference of philosophy kind of going into the session. Lots of bipartisan work. I pride myself, I chair the Health and Human Services Committee. Health and Human Services are very important to Nevadans. People, when I knock on doors, this is what they care about, right? Their health care, their safety net programs for a family member who's struggling. And in my committee, we work across the aisle very well to make sure that we're addressing those needs for Nevadans.
One of the things that you just raised was in terms of matching funds or putting up funds to be able to qualify for federal grants. Because I remember talking to Senator Reid many years ago, because people were complaining that even with him as majority leader, we didn't get as much money being sent back to Nevada as people thought we should. And his response was, well, Nevada doesn't really put up their share of the money. Yep. So with this American Recovery Act, where would you like to see money being invested from the state to qualify us for more money coming back?
Well, I think one of the things we learned from the guidance that just came out a couple days ago is that this round of American Recovery Act does not allow for federal matching. So
really?
You cannot actually use it for federal matching. We learned two things. Can't use it for the rainy day fund, and you probably can't use it for federal matching. But setting that aside, I think that, first of all, by far, the most important priority is stabilizing our current government. And again, that's not probably the big idea that anybody is going to be talking about, but it is, we really need to make sure that the basic operations of state government that were set back pretty significantly during the special session when we had to make cuts, and through the first 100 days of this session when we've been contemplating having to make more cuts, we need to stabilize our government services. So that, again, I'm a Health and Human Services person, so we want to make sure that our child care is stable. We want to make sure that our health care is stable. We want to make sure that if you're a senior citizen who needs the help of a personal care assistant to be able to stay in your home and you're low income and can't afford that you're still getting that, so people don't end up in institutions. There are all of these programs that we do day in and day out, and we need to make sure that those are stable and we're taking care of people. So that's the very first and most important thing.
And as you've been looking at the information that's coming out, will this apply also to the counties and the cities as well to be able to help stabilize them?
It's a it's day 101 in the session, so I have not looked at all at what's happening at the local level.
What?
I apologize.
You didn't
Sam,
come prepared. No, I'm kidding.
There's a lot going on.
No, of course.
And we are still, to be fair, we've had the guidance for a couple days. It's 125 pages of details, so we are still wading through it ourselves. So it's actually easier to identify the things that you can't do with it than it is to figure out exactly everything that you can. So we're making our way through.
All right, so let's look at the big picture then. Mm-hmm. With almost $3 billion coming in from the feds, where would you like to see that money going? Do you want to see it going into one-shot projects, or do you want to see it going into ongoing projects, or a mixture of both?
So again, stabilize our government, first priority. Dieter, we have definitely have a plan to put some money into Dieter, and I should not use acronyms, our unemployment system,
right.
Making sure that we are strengthening the unemployment system. It took a huge hit. We are not doing as well by Nevadans as we should be because of the systems issues. $50 million easily to go there to make sure that that's working. The other pieces are infrastructure. We've had lots of conversations as a nation about how we're not doing enough to take care of our, you know, roads, bridges, parks, all our outdoor resources, every place that we can where we can do infrastructure, and that has a wonderful effect of also creating jobs. So I think that that's going to be incredibly important for the state as well. Again, I think anything that we can do, like we talked about with the graduate medical education, where we are able to do something for a short period of time, like increase the number of slots for doctors to do residency so that we can increase our healthcare workforce moving forward, are going to be wonderful investments, or some of the ideas. Affordable housing, I think you know that I've done
sure.
a lot of work on affordable housing. So what can we do to build affordable housing units and build out some of that infrastructure so that we're taking a leap forward in that area. And I think 63 legislators will have lots of ideas, but more importantly, I think we want to set up a process so that the public can give us their ideas. I mean, I have ideas, but so do my neighbors, so do my friends, so do areas in our community that we don't hear from as often as we need to. And so I think a good public engagement process is going to be a really important part of it.
So do you envision like a listening tour for legislators prior to a special session to actually decide how to spend this money?
I think that's the right thing to do for sure. And I don't think that's just my idea. I think that you would see that there's lots of conversation at all levels within the building. I think that the governor's office, I don't want to speak for the governor's office, but I think it's critically important to all of us that we get some good public engagement. It's a once in a generation experience that we're having. I think, you know, we're living through history, and sometimes when you're in the middle of it, it's hard to see it, right? But we're all going to look back at this period in our life as transformational. No question. There's been transformation that has happened in my life and all of our lives because of what we've learned through being isolated in a pandemic. When you talk about telehealth, you talk about e-commerce, or you talk about the automation of jobs, I mean, we're going to have significant transformation. It makes sense to me that we take a step back, not too long. We got to get those money, get the dollars out and get the dollars working, but that we take a step back and say, okay, what could we do with these resources that would be transformational and making sure that Nevada is stronger going forward?
You brought up an interesting point, which has not been discussed a whole lot in the media, which is the automation of jobs. And in talking to people in the gaming industry especially, they're saying that they are on solid ground now because of all the changes they had to make through the whole pandemic. And it seems that automation has got to be a big part of that. Do you have concerns that a lot of those service jobs are not going to come back?
Absolutely. There's no question that there were some trends that were happening before the pandemic. E-commerce and automation of jobs, I think, are two really good examples. Telehealth, there are some positive things too.
Sure.
That were, you know, on a path, and this pandemic has accelerated them. And so certainly we need to make sure that our workforce is getting the right training, the right skills, that we're creating the right jobs for them to come back to. And so certainly an area where I know we are investing a lot of time and energy to work that out. Is there one magic bill that is going to solve that? No, absolutely not. But I think that across the aisle, across the plaza, if you will, from the governor's office to the legislature, figuring that out is a priority.
Have you been surprised at how broad the definition of infrastructure has been from the Biden administration to include things like childcare? I'm not saying that you would be disappointed by that, but just
no.
How broad that has been.
No, I'm thankful. I mean, again, One of the wonderful things about the pandemic is that we've had some opportunities to have some learning. And we learned very quickly when your childcare system shuts down, your workforce shuts down to a certain degree as well. And I happened to work in a field where a lot of essential workers, people were still going to work, but how we kept people coming to work when they didn't have any childcare was a significant challenge. There is just no question that childcare is a part of our infrastructure in terms of keeping our communities going. And folks like myself who have been talking, live in Health and Human Services and have been trying to make that point for years. We've had an opportunity to say, look, childcare, it's really important. Healthcare, it's really important. Public health, having the infrastructure, nobody really talked much about public health prior to this, but having the infrastructure in place to make sure that we can do good epidemiology work, that we have the labs that we need, that we have the public health professionals who know how to do the contact tracing and can slow these things down is really important. And I guess you don't really cherish what you have until you are put in this position, but I'm very thankful to the Biden administration for expanding the definition of infrastructure, because schools, clearly infrastructure, childcare, our employment structure, our unemployment structure, they need investment.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be back with more with State Senator Julia Ratti after this timeout.
Tamarack Casino is giving away two Mercedes-Benz during the $125,000 Benz or Cash Giveaways. Plus, players get 5x points on video reels every Friday. Win two Mercedes-Benz now through May at Tamarack Casino.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you. But we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
Each day, the Children's Advocacy Alliance partners with leaders, legislators, and families across Nevada to improve children's health, education, economic well-being, and safety. We recognize Nevada will be no better than the state of its children. Be a part of this change. Be a supporter of the Children's Advocacy Alliance. For more information, go to caanv.org.
Hi, I'm Renee Summerauer, digital news anchor here at 7 at 7. Watch our streaming nonstop newscast immediately with your mobile phone. 7 at 7 is the new way for you to get every bit of local news you need in just 7 minutes. Breaking news, local neighborhood news, weather, and sports are just a click away. Reporters bring you all of what's happening in the Valley. From Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, YouTube, and more. Get every bit of local news you need from the RJ and LVRJ.com.
Tamarack Casino is giving away two Mercedes-Benz during the $125,000 Benz or Cash Giveaways. Plus, players get 5x points on video reels every Friday. Win two Mercedes-Benz now through May at Tamarack Casino.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with State Senator Julia Ratti. One of the things that has opened up a real window in the last couple of weeks, and you were talking about DETR the issues they're having, and I'm glad to hear that you're talking about really trying to replenish their computer systems to the modern level, not to just getting us halfway. But when you look at what's been going on the East Coast with this oil pipeline and the cyber attack, the ransomware that was put there, has this raised concerns in the legislature about the security of our systems here in Nevada, whether it's the electric grid, the water, any of those things?
So data security has always been, as long as I've been here for three sessions now, and certainly data security has been a topic in every session. Senator Cannizzaro has done some really good work more on the consumer protection privacy data security, but it's always a concern. Kind of going back to the DETR question, yes, we could, we should get caught up. I think we should get ahead.
Right.
Like maybe if we have some extra funds, how do we think where we need to be 10 years from now, not just to get caught up to where we should have been today. So I think when it comes to IT and technology, there's a wonderful opportunity with the AARP dollars to really make up some grounds and to try to get ahead.
And do you look at other areas of state government to say, okay, you know, these are problems that are looming if we don't address them because something's going to happen down the road that we're going to need these systems. So should we be looking at it, you know, state government wide, really?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's so many places where we run lean because we want to be responsible with the taxpayer dollar. And I think, again, I don't want to, you know, bang this drum too much, but with the pandemic, it really exposed some places where we don't have resiliency. And so certainly looking at resiliency within our communities, so, you know, not just the legislature or not just state government, but just looking at resiliency within our communities will be an important part of the process of again, reaching out to our community, seeing what folks' priorities are, and figuring out where to invest this extra resource.
You've been vaccinated. I've been vaccinated. Does it surprise you that there's still a decent sized portion of the state that has not been vaccinated? And what do you want to say to those folks?
I guess it doesn't surprise me because I've spent time in public health and we've had a very interesting movement in our nation that has, I think, spread misinformation about vaccinations. And unfortunately, that happened going into, before the pandemic, where there was already developing some skepticism around vaccines. So there's that portion of the population that has some skepticism, and we have work to do there. Very proud of folks like Heidi Parker over at Immunize Nevada, who her and her team and a lot of the public health infrastructure that supports her do really important work on making sure that we get vaccinated in normal times. Look at how many flu deaths we've had this through this pandemic because of how many precautions that we've taken and some of the things that have happened. So that's important work all of the time. I would love to say to people, vaccines are safe. You're not doing it for yourself, you're doing it for your community. And I think that we need to recognize that there's a whole bunch of folks in our communities who work hard every day. Some folks have more than one job. They have children. They have lots of responsibilities. They may be stressed out because of whatever is going on in their lives. And that now we're in a phase where we need to bring the vaccine to them. So as much as I will say to people, do everything you can to get your vaccine, I will say to all of us and our public health infrastructure, which I know is working on it, that it's time for us to get out to every little nook and cranny and make it easy for people.
And it seems that the chain drugstores are now doing non-appointment vaccinations, so yep. You can go to your CVS or Walgreens
right. And
get vaccinated there as well.
That, but we need to be in churches, we need to be at Little League fields, we need to be wherever people are gathering where they don't have to take a minute out of their day to make it happen, but there's somebody there who can give them a vaccine. I think that's going to be the last push.
All right, let's take another break. We'll be back with State Senator Julia Ratty after this timeout.
Located in the heart of Carson City, the Bank Saloon, a historic watering hole with a modern feel. With a variety of classic cocktails featuring Nevada spirits, space for private events, conferences, and an incredible atmosphere. The Bank Saloon offers a great location to work and play. Come visit us. Located at the corner of 5th and Carson. We'll save you a drink.
The Do It Right guys at Nevada Heating have one mission. Your furnace breaks down today? We fix it today. Why freeze for days while your furnace is down when Nevada Heating can get the job done today and you can get warm again? For nearly 50 years, locally owned Nevada Heating has been getting the job done right. Call today at 323-5585 and we'll fix it today. That's 323-5585 or online at nevadaheating.com.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Come visit Design Outdoor's store and backyard to see our wide selection of fire pits, barbecues, and pizza ovens. Natural stone water features and fountains and frostproof pottery. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
I can't do it. Stupid, like my mom.
We can't do anything at Mommy's because you won't pay child support.
Dad said you cheated, and he's not even sure he's my dad.
Mommy said you left both of us, so she isn't gonna let me see you.
I look just like my father.
I'm divorce attorney Marilyn York, and I may represent men, but hate has no gender, only casualties. Please, stop sacrificing your children in your war against your ex.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with State Senator Julia Ratty. You touched on this briefly, but if you want to expand on it a little bit, with the housing shortage in the North and the South, the transferable tax credits for affordable housing sound like a really good idea.
Yeah, I'm excited about that project. It's something we brought in the last session that we're continuing to build on in this session. There's X number of folks who are just never going to compete in the marketplace. So whether that be a senior citizen on a fixed income, a person with a disability, a family that's just getting started and is maybe making minimum wage, we need some units that are subsidized where we can bring down rent. And so this is a state tool that will help us to do that. We work in partnership with private developers to build more subsidized affordable units, and I'm excited that it looks like it's doing well in this legislative session. Hopefully it makes it to the finish line.
The only other negative to that is the cost of lumber and other materials is going through the roof.
Absolutely. But this is a moment in time. I think we have supply chain issues right now. I would suspect that after the pandemic sort of levels out, that we'll get back to some normalcy in some of these markets. And if not, we'll get innovative about new materials, right? We're resilient as Americans. We're going to figure it out.
I have 10 more pages of questions, but we're out of time. And I know I'm not going to get you back before the end of session, but please come back after session and let's continue this conversation.
You bet. Thanks so much, Sam.
Thank you. And we'll be right back.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts, and now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions. And all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers on television, radio, audio and video, podcasts, and YouTube. We'll see you on the next broadcast coming to you from Carson City. See you then.